I'd like to give a little testimony and prophecy. This week, I really enjoyed Psalm 119, 140, which says, "Your word is very pure, and your servant loves it." And as I was praying over this verse, I stopped at "very pure." Your word is very pure.
Amen.
And then the Lord's shining came, and I had to confess, "Lord Jesus, I am not very pure." And actually, the confession was more, "Lord Jesus, I am not pure." And so, you know, the confession, I followed the Lord, followed the Lord's anointing to confess some things. And then some condemnation came in. And then I asked the Lord, "How could you ever make me pure?" It's just a little bit of getting a little down. And the Lord did not answer that question. So, what do you do when the Lord doesn't answer your prayer? Well, you have to continue seeking the Lord. So then I thought, okay, well, the Lord's not answering that question. So let me just go on to the rest of the verse. "And your servant loves it."
Amen.
And I thought, oh Lord, thank you for your word. Amen. I love your word.
Amen.
I think that was the Lord's way of answering my prayer. How could you ever purify me? Oh Lord, I love your word.
Amen.
Yesterday, Brother Ricky and Brother Dennis spoke to the young working saints at KPCC. And he said, "I'm afraid in our personal time with the Lord, whether it's in the morning or some other time of the day, we leave too much on the table." He said, you know, when two parties are negotiating, let's say it's the employer and the employees or the union, they talk and they spend time so that when they leave, nothing gets left on the table. You get as much as you can, right? And if they won't give you that, then you ask for this. Right? And you leave with as much as you can. And he said, "I'm afraid our morning time or our personal time with the Lord is like a drive-through. We just get a little bit. And we don't even greet the person you order and then the person you pay and then the person that gives you the food. You don't even, it's so minimal." And our time with the Lord may be that way. Oh, thank you, Lord. This verse is really short. Okay. And then we leave, and we left something on the table. So it was encouraging us not to be down on how we spend our time with the Lord, but encouraging us to spend more time with Him.
Amen.
And this is one way, is when we dwell on the Word, and not only just to read it again and try to utter some prayer, but to follow the Lord's anointing. Because as we pray, the Lord also responds to us,
amen,
right? And then that causes us to pray a little more. And this is the way that we not only take in the word, but allow the word to be living and operative in us.
Amen. Amen. Wow. I was so touched by the messages this week. I really enjoyed, well, the Lord really brought two things to my mind, which is the word faithful and prayer reading. Mm-hmm. I realized we just need to be faithful eaters, and we need to be those who pray read the word.
Amen.
Because this is how we get the word into our being, and this is how we assimilate the word into us.
Amen.
And really just coming across these messages, it really just strikes us that in order to really get into the word, we need to pray read it. We need to eat it. That's why I really enjoyed John 6:48. It says, "I am the bread of life."
Amen.
Even such a short verse like this has so many riches in it. Lord, I am.
Amen.
I am.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. You are the great I am.
Amen.
Thank you that you are supplying us. You are energizing us.
Amen.
Lord, you are everything that we need.
Amen.
Thank you that you are the bread of life.
Amen.
Lord, you are small enough for us to eat.
Amen.
We can take you into our being.
Amen.
Lord, you are our heavenly manna.
Amen.
Each day, Lord, every morning, make us faithful to gather the manna.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In this portion, it was mentioned that there are these five things: television, entertainment, music, newspapers, and sports. They all feed the flesh, Therefore, the Lord wants to sanctify us from all of them, but there's a caution here. Don't we try to do it. This Romans 10, I think it's 10:13. The Spirit must put to death the practice of the body. So quickly, I want to give a testimony of how the Lord took comic books away from me, which is a type of entertainment. One morning watch, all the sanctifications is always in a morning watch. I heard a rhema. I only heard two rhemas this day. This is before I was hearing the Lord's voice more regularly. He said, I want you to stop comic books. You know, of course, that was a favorite thing of mine, favorite entertainment. So I had to go to work. So I had time to dwell on it. And at night, I was musing. I'm glad this the brother mentioned musing. I was musing about why I was looking at comic books and why the Lord might want me to stop reading them. But as I was musing, I thought, okay, I know Spider-Man, which is my favorite. You know, there's always some evil force and damsel in distress or whatever, and he always comes to rescue them, you know, as a hero. Well, I wrote it here. Brother Frank mentioned, allow the word to make home in your heart. When the Lord spoke this second rhema, you'll see how it was instantly already made in my heart. The Lord said, I'm your hero. That was the second, and then I thought about that. I said, yes, it instantly resonated because every single evening watch, I don't care what the enemy put on me, fear, worry, doubt, all these things, if I sang long enough, as soon as I felt the Lord's glory, it wiped all of that clean. So I instantly received that. When I instantly received that, I had no problem. I willingly just dropped. There was no argument about the comic books because I already tasted what a hero is like. Quick thing, because some of you were in this training. There was a semi-annual training, Brother Dave Higgins, I believe it was. And I was at I couldn't believe I heard what he said. He said, Jesus is my hero. And he made a big point about it. And I didn't say when the Lord, anyway, I was just melted again to hear that because Jesus is our hero.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So food is such a great topic, right? Unless you're sitting there and you're hungry and you didn't have breakfast or whatever, but food is a great topic. And everybody has something to say about food. Michael Pollan tells you, eat food, not too much, mainly plants, you know, no carbs, slow carbs, you know, there's keto, there's so many things that you can eat. Especially now, I would think that right now there's never been any point in history that people have had so much choice of what you could put in your mouth. Right? And then not only is it all, people take pictures of it, you're like everybody, there's no end to it. And in psychology, that's called the paradox of choice. You have all these things to eat, and the more choices you have, and the more things that are available to you, the less satisfied you are. Like you know this, because after you've had dinner, and you've eaten, you're full, but you're still not satisfied. You're not hungry. I mean, you're not hungry anymore, but you're not satisfied, right? You're thinking, oh, I should have ordered that instead because the other guy's food looks better than yours or whatever the case may be. But because you're not satisfied, that also tells you that we hunger on different levels. It's not just a physical hunger. We also have a spiritual hunger. And isn't it great that, can you imagine if we had a paradox of choice with spiritual food? It's so easy. I am the bread of life. That's it. You know, if we had a kajillion things that were spiritual that we needed to try to figure out, what's the best ratio? How much of this should I take? Is this enough of this? Too much of that? Not enough? No, it's so simple. I am the bread of life. And then a lot of times we don't think about these things because we are so physical. But we have that emotional need. We have that spiritual need. We're not satisfied. We want more. And the other thing is that a lot of people tell you what you should eat, but then there's that aspect of how should you eat it, right? And we kind of discussed that a little bit, but you know people who put things in their mouth and they just go in and out, right? Did you chew it? You know, did you taste it? You know, and that's the other aspect of it. And I was really reminded about that this week, that when you're looking and when you're going through the morning watch, that you're not just like, okay, I gotta finish this. Right? And it's not just like you're at work or whatever and you're eating and you're doing your work and you're doing, and you don't even know what you ate. And after you've eaten, you don't remember anything about it. And you you really don't want to be your morning watch where you read it, but you have no idea what you read. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know, I really enjoyed speaking, you know, the manna, something, you know, that the children of God is to eat. And they so enjoy it. You know, me, I am a taste in certain food I eat also, you know. Because I remember that there's a cotton, like a candy. I eat and, you know, it melt very easy, in the mouth, you know. Well, as brother shared, you know, they couldn't, eat up a lot physically. But, you know, the word, we have to dwell on the word. You know, that's how we gain Christ. You know, so day by day, you know, because even Brother Frank had mentioned when he talked to the young ones, one of them had the word is very vital. You know, so we should not cease from enjoying the Lord, because you know He's our constant supply.
Amen. I wasn't planning on sharing, but I guess the Lord kind of told me get up, so I did. Just my experience of this week. This is my first full week of school in college. I go to St. John's. And when I was first starting out, you know, my first classes, in my literature class, we went around, said our name, our major, and our favorite book, because it was an English class. And I said, I was the only one who said my favorite book was the Bible. And everyone was kind of looking at me weird, and they're like, what are you talking about? And immediately I felt outed as a Christian. And you know, some days I'll wear my Summer School of Truth t-shirts or my college training t-shirt, and people like walk past me and try to read what's on my shirt or the verse that's on the back of my shirt, and they're just, you know, interested or just kind of weirded out about this Christian in the middle of the class. And even though I like to put front that I'm a Christian before anything, it just kind of makes me feel like alone, I guess, on my campus. Because I already have the sense, it's my first week, I already feel the sense of just this godless environment. And it's And so normally every morning I have a 1 hour commute on the bus, and so I usually listen to hymns during that time. Amen. And you know, in addition to listening to hymns, I told myself every morning I was going to bring my Bible, because you know I have it, you know, on my phone, but I like having something, you know, physical in my hand to flip through the pages.
Yeah.
And every morning I forget my Bible. Doesn't matter. I always forget my Bible. I haven't brought it one day yet, because you know I have so much time throughout my day on campus where I could, you know, be reading my Bible, and I just always forget. And so I have in my house, in my room, I have a wall that, and on my wall I just have a bunch of verses on my wall. It's nothing too fancy, just printed out stuff, you know. So every morning I wake up and I look at my verse wall and I read maybe a one or two, and you know, funny enough, I have John 6:63 on my verse wall also. You know, and it says, you know, the words are spirit in our life.
Amen.
And every morning, these words that are spirit in our life, I forget these words, you know. And so it just kind of, you know, the brothers are speaking about this hunger for the word. And it kind of spoke to me, because I don't have this great hunger for the word, because if I really did, I wouldn't forget it every morning. Mm-hmm. You know, I know saints that, you know, they have to leave their house with, you know, some form of the Bible. And I just always forget it. And so it just makes me, you know, want to have this hunger.
Amen.
And just, you know, just pray to the Lord for this hunger for His word.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are God's kind.
Amen.
You know, there are different creatures, and they have different appetites for different kinds of food.
Amen.
But we are God's kind.
Amen.
So yes, Sierra, we're different. We like God's food.
Amen.
We like the Bible. Praise the Lord. But we also do need to cultivate the taste, you know, and the habit of getting into it. I remember when I first came to the church life, you know, I came fresh out of Egypt. I was straight out of the world. And so when I first got saved, I really liked the word, but I didn't, you know, I didn't know how to really enjoy it. that much. But I would read it on the train. I'm like, wow, everyone should do this. They wouldn't be so grouchy, you know? It's so good, you know? And I would read verses and I would pray over them. That's the real prayer reading, right? So, but then, you know, I wasn't in the church life yet. I started to drift and I ended up back in Egypt and back where I didn't belong. And I started losing the taste, you know? So I came back to, someone invited me to the meetings, came to the meetings. And I remember the saints were singing the hymns and, you know, and I was like, whoa, Lord, I don't like these hymns, you know? I just didn't like that kind of music. But I remembered that's not normal. So I was like, Lord, change my taste. Make me like these hymns. Make me like all these things that you like. So at least he put that in my heart. And sure enough, he did it, you know. And then thank the Lord, I was with some saints. And we were all newbies. And we would get together 6:30 in the morning to have morning watch together. That was pretty rough because we were working in the restaurant business. You get done late at night, you know. So, but still by the Lord's mercy, we would come and we would, 6:30 in the morning, we would, you know, pray, read the word. We would get through the morning watch. Sometimes we didn't know what we were doing, but every so often you strike your spirit and wow, yum, yum, that was good, you know, and we would just keep going. So we have to practice, you know, when the children of Israel, they were God's called people. We are God's called people. You know, those are pictures in those times. They're called out of Egypt. And so they got really mad when they ran out of Egyptian food, really grumpy. And, you know, because they were hungry. So all we have is this manna. We need to ask the Lord to change our taste. Mm-hmm. You know, I was very touched about the matter of first mention, you know, in the Bible, right in Genesis chapter 2, we have the tree of life and eating. Amen. God tells them to eat, you know. As you go through the Bible, it's eating. Thy words were found and I did eat them, amen, right? That's Jeremiah the prophet. Then you see all these things and then there you are in John, New Testament. The Lord says, I am the bread of life. That manna you heard about before, I am the real bread of life. And then we end up in Revelation again, the tree of life, the manna in the pot, eating, 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 eating. That goes against our religious concept. We need to ask the Lord, renew our mind, help us to get into the word every day until we're, amen, reconstituted with Christ.
Amen.
An article came onto my phone this week and made a deep impression on me. It was a story about a young man in the United Kingdom who from the age of 7 until the age of 17 ate nothing but chips, white bread, and processed meat. And then by the age of 17, he was blind and he was deaf. So that was a big warning to me, and I copied the link and I sent it to every one of my family members because I didn't want that same thing. One of my kids is a little picky in his eating, so I wanted to make sure he got the message. Okay, the other thing is, like, when I was going out with my wife, Debbie was mentioning change in taste. When I was going out with my wife, when Saturday night came around, I wanted to go out and do normal things that people would do on a date, you know? But my wife wanted to go to the young people's meeting, and I didn't really think that was so fun, but to make her happy, I went. But you know what? As I went, my taste changed. And then later on, some friends from work invited us out to do things on a Saturday night, and I missed the meeting, and I felt uncomfortable, you know, because I felt like I belonged in the meeting. Praise the Lord. You know, what the message this week said that what we eat is what we take into us as enjoyment. And I was touched by something that was said in the meeting today. It's not what we do, it's what kind of person we are. Now, the other things that we take into us change us, and, you know, they don't change what kind of people we are, you know. So if you're a teenager and you eat a lot of potato chips and ice cream and soda, then you'll have a lot of pimples. But that doesn't change the kind of person you are. You know what I mean? If you want to be useful to the Lord, you have to be the right kind of person. And to be the right kind of person, you need to eat the Lord. I'm not preaching at you. I'm just saying it to myself because many times I have the experience of going through the week and then the words that I said in my testimony ring in my ears. So I have no right to preach to you because I don't have it all together, but I'm just saying it to myself. We need to eat the Lord some more and then the Lord will change us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm glad I don't have too many pimples on me.
Praise the Lord. And when I was Brother Church Life, brothers introduced morning revivals like to me long time ago. I just feel like it's not like something that I should do because I have to rise up too early and to read the word. And I often like brother read like lines by line. After I the first time I did morning revival is like I did like in a bed, right? Like I read the verse I'm supposed to read and I close my eyes. And the next sound I heard is like a brother's calling my name, say like, "Oh, Jack, like it's your turn," something like that. It's like I do a morning revival in my sleep all the time. And I just like I just feel like it's something that is so hard to do. But it's like praise the Lord that I think as my life grow in church in with brothers and all the brothers together, like I think morning revival is something that I really take in that I should consider in my Christian life. So I start doing morning revival with the brothers. As Brother Frank said, well, since from Sunday we have like corporate morning revival 8 o'clock on Saturday. And yesterday actually I came late. I woke up I woke up like 7 and I saw the clock. I said, okay, 7. I was like, I went to the bag right away. And the second time I saw the clock was like 8:20 or something. And I just like rushed like into the brother house and start morning revival. It was good that that's great. They're still doing it. I wasn't too late, terrible late. But it's like when the cafeteria is closing the last minute and you rush in and try to finish as much like your food as fast as possible. And I took some food back with me as well. I took the morning nourishment brother print out. And there was something that from the morning nourishment says that it really impressed me. It's that God does require us to preserve an amount of Christ which equal to the amount we have eaten of Him. So it's not like it's really important to really to prepare or preserve some inside of you, not just like come to the meeting with empty hand, waiting for brothers to feed you every time. And also when I read yesterday's morning morning revival, Ephesians chapter 4, 15 and verse 15, 16 says, "But holding to the truth of love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ. All from whom all the body being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply and through the operation of the measure of each one part, cause the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love." So I was thinking that if we don't eat the same thing with other saints, how can we grow up together, knit together in one body? So praise the Lord that we can preserve Christ inside of us like as a hidden manna. So it will eventually become hidden manna, the Christ will preserve. And we, as long as we eat and drink of the same thing with the other brothers, we can grow up in one body, like as the Bible says. So like when the two things connect together, I feel more confident with everything. That's okay. So morning revival is a key thing that really, and a prayer rate is a key to growing alive and how to grow. We always say like to grow with in oneness with other saints, right? That's the way we're supposed to do it. It's like really praise the Lord for the revealing this truth to me, and hope I can keep coming to the Lord in the morning every morning when I wake up. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So, yeah, actually, I'm also from Stony Brook, like you did say, what I mentioned last week, and three weeks have already gone by, and like I don't understand why it was like just this too quick, but anyways, for the past 3 weeks, even though my classes it doesn't matter what time they start, I always try to get up as early as I can because I feel like, wow, without this manna, I feel like I have no nourishment for today. So if there is a case like when I end up like being waking up later than I think, I always think about spending like more than an hour with the Lord the next day, so I can really make up for what I missed, and the Lord can nourish me even more. And because I feel like, how can we be constituted with the Word without taking in Christ as our manna? How can we be constituted with the Word without even reading just a verse? Because actually, this past summer's School of Truth, I realized that you know, you don't have to read necessarily a full chapter for you to be constituted with the manna. But a verse or two, so long as you really spend a lot of time on those verses, especially in the morning nourishment sections, those verses will really sanctify your day. And this is exactly what I've been feeling for the last weeks. Though this week I woke up late pretty often because as I understand things with homework got pretty tight, but when I read those verses, as one of my first priorities in the morning, I would always think of it to myself, wow, Lord Jesus, you thank you for giving me a new start. Amen. And then when I had to go to classes where, you know, there are just things that I, you know, that are really against of, you know, who, what kind of people we really are, what we really are for, which is for the church. I'm always like, oh Lord, oh Lord, just keep preserving me. Amen. Because I had to take this seminar class. Just quite annoyingly, the book the professor provided us, it has like, you know, pretty sensitive content, but on the other hand, when I, you know, read through those things, I'm just like, oh Lord Jesus. I just like, oh Lord Jesus, instead of like, you know, like just spitting up, whatever negative words you want to say. But wow, my point is, we just want to keep going on enjoying the manna. Yes. Because the manna is, the Lord is really waiting for us to contact Him. Amen. And without the manna, we have no nourishment. And on the other hand, if we spend even up to as much as like 1 to 2 hours in the manna, which, yes, has happened to be the past few weeks, wow, the Lord will make our day even more fresh. And this verse was really enjoyable, and actually one of the brothers just was really touched by it as well. Psalm 119:40, your word is very pure and your servant loves it. Wow, Lord, you are so pure. Lord, we want to keep touching your pure manna. Your manna is pure. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I liked especially the first thing that Osmar said. Manna is the longest miracle in history. It's still going on, as a matter of fact. We're still getting fed morning by morning. It's still a miracle to me that, Lord, you're here every morning feeding us. And food really is quite a miracle, too, that we grow by food. I got to babysit my granddaughter for the first time this Friday. It was quite exciting. I got to feed her. And I was thinking, she's just growing. That's all she's doing, just eating and growing. But, you know, you forget what these little ones are like. And you're feeding her the bottle, and she's going, making these pleasurable noises. She's just enjoying it so much. She's just making these little pleasure noises, you know, so sweet. So that to me was just a picture. We have to enjoy the food that we eat. Eating Christ, eating the heavenly Christ daily is a miraculous normality.
Amen.
I enjoyed this week that the manna comes with the dew. In this time of year, you know, the dew, you can go outside now. The timing is right to see the dew in the morning. And I always love the dew. It's so fresh. I just like the morning anyway. But it's such a picture that every morning the Lord is there in such a fresh way, such a simple way. The manna was not a complicated food. It was so simple. Mm-hmm. And they ate it. The children of Israel ate it and were strengthened. The verse we read about them complaining after they had fought the battle, they were still strengthened. You know, it's true. Like Debbie said, they were complaining because they were cranky and hungry. But the fact that they had gotten to where they were an army, they were numbered, they were defeating people in the battle. It's all a testimony to the manna. They just ate. Even though they didn't understand it, they could still complain, you know, and sometimes we're still in our flesh, but the Lord, day by day, Amen. Morning by morning, is reconstituting us.
Amen.
This is a miracle. I am so grateful that our dear brothers, especially Brother Benjamin, hammered it into our head year after year. How many messages did we hear on Morning Watch or Morning Revival? because this miracle of eating the Lord morning by morning, day by day, will reconstitute us. And in the hymns too, because there's such a content of the word in the hymns. I enjoyed the hymn this morning. I come to his presence afresh, amen, ere the night has passed into morning. And he speaks to me and reveals to me all his riches for me today. Amen. Then the last verse I really enjoyed. In tenderness he deals with me as I stay with joy in his presence. And many of the saints have talked about this morning, musing on the word, staying with the Lord. But the Lord spoke to me this morning, that verse, in a way of taking him with you, staying with joy in his presence. And then Brother Frank made that more clear. This then is the hidden manna. You get something, you eat the Lord, you eat the word, and then you take it with you. Don't leave it on the table. At least pack it up and take it with you, you know, like you had some morning watch to go. Take it with you in your heart, in your mind. And then it says, and he saturates and supplies my soul with all his precious essence. And this is really what he's doing, especially when we take him with us into our day. He saturates our soul. This is what he's invading and transforming, is our soul. He gives us, he shows us and teaches us to love what he loves, to have a will for the things that he wants, and to love according to his heart. Amen.
Recently, I realized that the last 10 years, all the tribulation I had and all the illness I had, what those 10 years was like the time my trust was built up in God. So through these all the experiences, I learned to enter into his rest. So the tribulation, all the happenings, they are not stopping. They keep happens in work. It is all the chaos, my work, and these days there's a verse always come up to me. It's John 5:17. My Father is working until now, and I also am working. What a relief to know God is working for you. It is a great support. Everything is in control in him. When you know this, you immediately feel at ease and you can get into his rest.
Amen. We'll close the meeting. Want to remind the saints, we forgot to announce this, that we will have a gospel meeting September 28th, Saturday, 6:15. There's some invitations on the counter which you can pick up and invite your friends and coworkers to this gospel meeting. September 28th, that's in two weeks on Saturday.